Brethren, we're 3 days away from the Passover, where we renew our covenant and we give our fealty to the Christ, our King. We, brethren, come to the Sabbath service every week to learn about God, to learn about his plan, and to learn about our purpose in that plan. We study God's word so we can come closer to our Father and better understand our brother and our Savior who came to this earth with a clear purpose. Brother, when we open up the pages of the New Testament and we read the Gospels, we often find ourselves focused on the miracles, the parables, or the many conflicts that we read about between Jesus and the religious leaders of the time. But as we approach this season that commemorates the final days of Christ's earthly life, we are brought to a face-to-face with a moment of immense significance. Let's go ahead and start turning to John 18 and verse 37. This is where we're going to start our message. John 18, verse 37. John 18 is where we find Jesus being arrested, taken before the high priest, and eventually forced to stand before the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate. Consider for a moment, brethren, on one side you have the representative of the Roman Empire, the greatest human government the world had ever seen to that moment in time. And Pilate sat on a seat of judgment, backed by legions of Rome. On the other side stood a man who had been beaten, mocked, and abandoned by his disciples. From a physical perspective, Jesus looked like anything but a ruler. And it was clear that Pilate was not satisfied with the accusations that were being made by the religious leaders of the time. Looking upon Jesus, he was confused at his calm demeanor. He was there and his life was in the hands of Pontius Pilate. And so Pilate asked him a pointed question in verse 37. Pilate asked, "Are you a king then?" And the response Jesus gives is the foundation of our hope and the blueprint for the destiny of mankind. Let's begin, John 18:37. Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the earth, to the truth, and everyone is of the truth who hears my voice." Brethren, Jesus did not simply say that he was born to start a new religion. He wasn't born to merely be a good teacher or a moral philosopher as the world sees him today. He stated clearly, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." And that cause was he was born to be a king, which is the title of today's message, Born to be King. Today I want to explore this cause that we read about in this verse and draw on three points of God's plan. First, Christ was born to rule. Second, we are called to overcome. And third, Christ is preparing a place for the Father. So the first point, Christ was born to rule. Let's understand why Jesus said he was born to be a king. We have to look way back in the beginning of human history when God created mankind. He gave man dominion over the earth. However, through the deception of Satan and the choice of our parents, mankind rejected the government of God. Instead of living under the perfect outgoing law of love, humanity chose a different path. They chose the way of self-determination and competition, which leads to chaos and destruction. We see the results of this in the world we live in today. And for thousands of years, humanity's attempt to govern themselves has been one failure after another. Whether it be a monarchy or democracy, capitalism or communism, man has proven incapable of bringing lasting peace to this earth. But why? Because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Jesus Christ was born to usher in this only solution that would solve this problem. His birth was the arrival of the second Adam, the one who would succeed where the first Adam failed. He came to restore the government of God to an earth that has been held captive under the dominion of the adversary. This wasn't a new idea that Jesus came up with. He came to testify to humanity about the truth that had existed from the foundation of the world, a truth that is woven through scriptures. And brethren, let's consider the words of Isaiah 9, verse 6. Let's turn here. Isaiah 9, verse 6. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words over 700 years before Christ's birth. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." If you jump down to verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." And notice, brethren, that this verse focuses on government. On government. The purpose of the Messiah was to assume the awesome responsibility of governing the world. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he didn't just tell her she would have a son and he would be a savior. He told her the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Notice the similarities there. When Jesus told Pilate that he came to bear witness to the truth, he was talking about the reality of God's coming kingdom. Brethren, we are here today because we hear his voice. We hear the truth and recognize that he is our king. His life was the ultimate witness that God's way works. He lived a life of perfect submission to the Father, demonstrating that the king must first be a servant to the truth. For mankind, this means our future is not destined to descend into darkness, but rather it will be restored into God's eternal light. And this is the cause for which Christ was born. He was born to rule. He was born to be a king. Brethren, if Jesus was born to be a king, then we need to ask, why did he have to suffer? Why didn't he simply take the throne in the first century when he walked the earth? And this brings us to the second point. We are called to overcome just as he had to overcome. And God's government position is not given based on favoritism. Jesus Christ, though the Son of God, had to overcome the flesh. He had to face every temptation, every sorrow, every physical limitation that we face. And he had to do it without sin. It's hard to imagine. We all go through our struggles. Imagine having a perfect, sinless life. Brethren, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. And we'll see a little bit, a snapshot of this perfecting, if you will, overcoming that Jesus went through. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It tells us something so remarkable. It says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Brethren, that word "perfected" here means to be brought to completion, to the full. Christ was perfect in every sense. By overcoming the world and the devil, Jesus demonstrated his worthiness to reign. His Passover sacrifice, which we will commemorate in 3 days, was the ultimate witness to this truth, that God's love and law are worth more than life itself. He reminds his disciples, and he reminds us who are here today, by saying this very clearly. He says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul." That's Matthew 10:28, if you want to write that down. Matthew 10:28. Just as Christ overcame and proved his worthiness to rule, he now calls his followers to overcome so they may share in his rulership and his reign when the kingdom comes. This is where the plan for mankind becomes personal for each and every one of us that are here today. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation, and that's in Hebrews 2:10, if you want to write that one down. Hebrews 2:10. It's interesting he says captain, because a captain is the first one through the breach. He is the one who leads. God's plan is not just to have one king, but a family of kings and priests. And this is made clear in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, when it says, "And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Brethren, we ourselves are called to overcome. We are in a royal apprenticeship. We are in training, preparing for the kingdom. When we face trials, when we struggle to put out the leaven of our sin in our lives, we're not just trying to be good. We're being taught to develop the mind of a servant king. Otherwise, how can we rule over cities in the future if we cannot rule over our own spirit today? How can we judge between people in the kingdom if we do not learn how to apply the truth of God's word in our lives today, in our marriages or our jobs, or even the interactions we have here in this body? The cause for which Christ was born is the same cause for which we have been called. We are called to follow the same path, the path of overcoming in a world that is completely at odds with God and Christ. He has shown us the way to the throne and eternal life. The question is, are we ready to take the step and move forward? Are we ready to act, to learn, and to prepare ourselves? And so finally, brethren, we must ask, what is the ultimate goal of this kingship? Why is Christ so focused on establishing a kingdom and preparing a people to serve with him? It is one of the most magnificent purposes imaginable, to prepare a place for God the Father to dwell with men. Brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We know this, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15:50, if you want to write it down. Because of sin, there is a gap between God the Father and his creation. And Jesus Christ is the bridge that rises over that gap. His kingship is purposely designed to bring the earth back to harmony with the Father. The Apostle Paul explains this progression. So let's turn here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24 for our final scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 24, we read, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Brethren, this is the full circle of God's plan for mankind. Jesus Christ was born to be a king so that he could lead a government that will methodically eliminate every enemy of human happiness, like war and sickness and deception and finally death itself. He is the high priest who cleanses us with the blood, with his blood, which we are reminded of at the Passover. And he is the king who leads us into holiness, which is the days of unleavened bread represent for us, the struggle we have for the rest of our lives, fighting to remove sin from our lives, to remove the leaven from our lives. Together, these steps prepare us to become a holy nation and a special people. And the witness to the truth that Jesus Christ testified before Pilate culminates in Revelation 21 and verse 3, where it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." This is why we were created. This is why Jesus Christ was born. And this is why the sacrifice of the Lamb was necessary. Not just to save us from the penalty of sin, which is absolutely critical, but to transform us into a family fit to stand before the presence of Almighty God. We are called now to be the first fruits of the great harvest, but soon enough, all of mankind will be called. And so, brethren, as we stand at the door of these spring holy days this season, Let us look at John 18 and verse 37 with a fresh set of eyes. When we see Jesus bound before Pilate, let us not see him as a victim. Let us see a king in the middle of his greatest victory. It is for this cause that he was born and for this cause that he came into the world. He came into the world to prove that God's way is the only way that leads to life. He overcame the world and he invites us to do the same. And so, brethren, what does this mean as we move into the week and we prepare for this Passover? Well, let us first hear the voice of our King. Let us overcome, looking forward to that day when we will serve at his side, welcoming the Father to dwell among mankind. Let us remember that we were born to be kings.